It is the most important meeting of the man's life. And he knows that this meeting will make or break his career, but he can't find a place to park. He circles the building once, twice, he sees the minutes ticking away, he's afraid he's going to be late, and he does in desperation what many of us do in desperation. He prays. He looks up at the heavens and he says, God, if you will get me a parking space, I will be so grateful. I will thank you every day. I will pray. I will keep kosher. I will keep Shabbat. I'll be good. And just as he's saying this right in front of the building, guy pulls out. He looks up and says, never mind, I got it. Now, why is it so hard to be grateful? It's not just the guy in the joke. This morning in the Parsha, Jacob takes a vow. Now, he's leaving home. And this is what Jacob, our forefather, our spiritual model, this is what he says to God. If God remains with me, if he protects me on this journey I'm making, and gives me bread to eat, and clothing to wear, and if I return safe to my father's house, the Lord shall be my God. And we know that we're the same way. I'm about to give a sermon about how you should be grateful. At the end of the sermon, unless I completely get it wrong, you'll think I should be grateful. Then you'll go down to the parking lot. Someone will cut in front of you, and all that gratitude will disappear. And it will be replaced by either anger or the real enemy of gratitude, self-pity. Why am I always the one who gets stuck in the back of the line? Why am I always the one who gets sick when there's a cold going around? Why am I always the one everybody gets angry at? Over and over and over again. This is a constant for us. And all of us, to a greater or lesser extent, are victims of this most unlovely and usually untrue of emotions. We suffer to some extent, you know, from a statistical bias. It just isn't true that I'm always in the longest line. It just seems that way. But we do this because we know that there's something that feels good about feeling sorry for ourselves, even though, look at us, living in the richest country in the history of humanity with full bellies and heat and air conditioning, in freedom, able to say what we want and think what we want and choose what we want, and yet, we're in the long line. It's terrible. Judaism is a constant education in the necessity of gratitude. Thanksgiving, we didn't come up with it, but it's our holiday. It involves the two great Jewish themes, gratitude and food. You eat and are grateful. You know, when we do a complete Amidah and the cantor repeats the Amidah, he says all the brachot on behalf of the congregation, except for one. Modim anachnu lach. We are grateful to you, God, because nobody can be thankful on your behalf. You have to be grateful for yourself. Someone can pray for your healing. They can pray that the Jews return to Israel. But they can't pray that you be grateful. Not unless you're willing to do it yourself. The first thing we are supposed to say when we open our eyes in the morning, the very first thing, Modeh ani lefanech, I am grateful to you, God. And this is before you know what's going to happen that day. It could be a good day, it could be a bad day, it doesn't matter. You're grateful for the gift of being alive. And in fact, it is a rare gift. And these days, we can prove it statistically. We know how many possible combinations of DNA there are that would make a human being, and they're in the unimaginably large number. Which means that the chance that any individual human being would be born are infinitesimally, vanishingly small. Keep going with the O's until point one. Or not point one, the point comes before the O's. Which means that the chance that you would actually be alive, very, very small. Now, it may be that the author of Moder Ani didn't know the DNA, but he knew life. And that it was a gift. And that it was to be celebrated, all of it, every day. And yet we slide so easily out of gratitude, into anger, into self-pity, into darkness. Remember that Jacob says this at the beginning of his journey. And this characteristic, to some extent, stays with him. Because even though our spiritual fathers and mothers have a lot to teach us, they have a lot to teach us about what to do and sometimes what not to do. At the end of his life, Pharaoh says to him, "How old are you?" And do you know what he says? "Few and bitter have been the years of my life." Now, he's had a lot of trouble. It's true. One of his sons was taken away. He thought he was dead before he goes down to Egypt and sees that Joseph is alive. He's had many other trials along the way, but first of all, he's lived to be an old man. It's not true that his years have been few. And second, he has built a big family that is going to become a people. He's been rewarded in all sorts of ways. But that seed of self-pity that exists in Jacob at the beginning, he never quite exorcises from his being. Not quite. But hakarat hatov, recognition of the goodness we are given, is a great mitzvah. A great mitzvah. It's why the rabbis say nothing grew until God created Adam. Because God knew that nothing would grow in this world unless there was someone to appreciate it. That appreciation makes things grow. It also makes people grow. Think of how you grow inside when someone says to you, "That was wonderful. You did great. I'm so glad that you're here." Gratitude is the foundation of any real religious life. Gratitude to God, to each other, for the blessings of the world, for the wonders of creation, for all the things that you only appreciate when they are taken away. Kehu itchem devarim, take words, says the Haftorah, and return to God. You want to know when I appreciated the blessing of words? When my mother had a stroke and became aphasic and could no longer speak. And all of a sudden, I realized what a blessing it was to be able to say, "Could you please pass the salt?" Because imagine if you couldn't say it. How many of us realize the blessing of living in a peaceful country when we see the ravages of war? Or having limbs that work when we see people that were injured? Or being able to vote when we hear stories of tyranny? We are extravagantly, wonderfully blessed. And one of the blessings, as Rav says in the Talmud, is the ability to say thank you. It's not easy to keep that in mind. It's why we say the Modeh Ani every single morning. And if you say no other prayer during the day, let me suggest that one. wake up saying thanks. Remember that you have more blessings in your life than you can count. That it isn't only the blessings that you don't have that count. It's all the blessings that you do have that if they were gone tomorrow, you would inevitably say, why didn't I appreciate them when they were here? Anybody who has ever had a constant chronic pain knows that the most remarkable, wonderful revelation in the world is when the pain is suddenly gone. And then you think, oh my God, I never appreciated that to be able to move my shoulder without pain was a blessing. We're showered with them, filled with them. We just don't wonder about them. We say all the time, why am I always the one stuck in the long line? And we don't say, why am I the one who is able to speak, to think, to love? Thanksgiving. It's a very Jewish holiday. So on this Shabbat and tomorrow and the day after, it's not that we'll never get upset and we won't feel put upon and we won't feel angry. We're human beings. We will have a range of moods, but somewhere, I hope that we remember that we are so lucky and should be so grateful. Modeh ani lefanecha. All of us, God, are grateful before you. Because even though we don't always think of it, we don't always say it, and we don't always acknowledge it, you have given us so much, and we are so grateful. Shabbat shalom.